Welcome to episode 48 of Life with Mehdi. This episode focuses on off-peak charging and is our first group podcast where representatives from Ameren, the Electric Power Research Institute, and EV Energy discuss an innovative pilot program focused on making off-peak charging literally as easy as set it and forget it. Back in June, I found out from another Tesla owner that Ameren, our local electric utility, was conducting a pilot program for managing off-peak charging with Tesla vehicles. Of course, this is just the kind of thing I'm interested in, to participate in the future of EVs and anything related to their adoption. What you're about to hear is a recording we made last week. Enjoy learning about this innovative approach, and I'll sum it up with my personal experiences at the end. Well, welcome to this segment of Life with Mehdi, and I have with me three representatives of companies that are working together to bring to your Tesla a better way to do off-peak charging. Currently, my Model 3 Mehdi is participating in this pilot. So I have the great pleasure of introducing to you Annie Haas from EPRI, which is the Electric Power Research Institute, Danielle Wilsey from Ameren, our local utility, and then Joseph Vallone from EV Energy. Welcome to Life with Mehdi, everyone.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
I want to go ahead and just do some brief introductions, just give a little bit of background about, you know, your role at your particular company. And Joe, let's start with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Joseph. I head up the North America business of EV Energy. We are a managed EV charging software company. So basically what we do is we built a wireless software that connects to electric vehicles and chargers to make EV charging at home smarter, greener, and cheaper. So we help EV drivers save money on their energy bill. We also try to use as much renewable energy as possible, and we work with the grid and utilities like Ameren in order to deliver that.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Annie, let's go with you next.
Sure. Well, it's so nice to be here. Thanks for having us. My name is Annie Haas, and I am the program co-lead of the Incubate Energy Network and the Incubate Energy Innovation Challenges at the Electric Power Research Institute. And so my role is to help EPRI run these demonstrations that we're doing that you're a part of with Ameren.
All right. Thank you, Annie. And last and certainly not least, Danielle.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate the opportunity to be here today. My name is Danielle Wilsey. I am on the Small but Mighty Innovation team here at Ameren, the utility company that covers Missouri and Illinois. And I've been mainly in charge of running the Ameren Accelerator, which we've done independently for the last 3 years. But this year, really excited to partner with EPRI and other host utilities to run it in a slightly different way and engage with folks like Joe and EV Energy. So excited to be here.
I've been an EV enthusiast since 2012. I picked up a Chevy Volt, and then I graduated to a Nissan Leaf. And of course, now with Mehdi and Mehdi, I'm starting to call the Model Y Big Mid now so I can tell them apart. And it's been an amazing experience to see some of these newer technologies coming out. And when I had the opportunity, actually, I had a friend of mine in the Tesla community here in St. Louis give me a heads up and say, hey, did you hear about Ameren is starting to offer this pilot for off-peak charging? I thought, oh, I've got to be a part of that because I'm already involved in community solar. So I'm already using solar energies coming to my house, as it were. The electrons exactly don't hit my house. Yet, I'm participating in that pilot as well. It's going to be really cool to see how these different pilots are going to start coming together and giving us in this next decade the tools and the technologies that we need to take care of charging in ways that we can't even imagine right now. All right. So let's get started with our questions. And we took a little bit of time beforehand so people could prepare for these questions. Yet I do have a few questions I'll be springing on the panel. Should be fun. So Annie, how did this all begin? And can you tell us a little bit about the relationship between Ameren, EPRI, and EV Energy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the short and short is that Ameren is participating in a host utility in our Incubate Energy Labs Challenge. And so I'll explain a little bit more about that. The program is really geared toward accelerating the commercialization of different technologies, clean energy and decarbonization technologies to market. And what it does is it brings together the utility industry with startups from all over the world together, collaboratively solve for different challenges in as part of the program. We're calling this our 2020 cohort, our group of utilities and EPRI and the startups that are working together. So in this round, in our 2020 round, we had six challenge areas that we all came together to kind of collectively decide where what we wanted to focus on. Those were are electric mobility, customer and community engagement, customer and community resiliency, workforce of the future, digital utility, integration of distributed energy resources. So Doug, like your solar energy into the grid. And then also an open category for things we may not have thought of yet. So it's like going to Target and you walk out with stuff you didn't know you needed. That's that open category. So
that's awesome.
So we launched in at the end of December of last year, we launched a call for applicants. And basically what happens is startups look at the challenge areas and they decide if they want to apply to be considered. And then, you know, we had about 135 applicants, somewhere around there. And at the end of the day, we together did evaluations and down select, and we decided in our top 10 that are actually doing accelerated demonstration projects in all the different challenge areas. And I said before, one of them is electric mobility. And so it was very appropriate that EV Energy was one of those startups selected. And Danielle and Joe will tell you a little bit more about the program. But essentially, they are working with Ameren on managed EV charging, deploying an app to, like you have, to a group of participants who self-select in that allows them to track and manage their charging. And then EV Energy works with the group in the background to kind of figure out how we are collectively then going to deliver the cheapest and greenest energy possible. So it's a really great program. We are on the wind down phase now. It will culminate with a demo day in October, hosted by Ameren and the Ameren Accelerator, where all of the startups will come together and do sort of like a Shark Tank type pitch session with investors and utilities and EPRI so that we can all learn from each other. And I guess at the end of the day, that's really the point of what we're doing here. Exposure to one, exposure to many, all in the same breath.
That's really fantastic. Of course, I have to ask the question, can I be Mark Cuban? I got a cardboard cutout of myself from St. Louis City SC from the soccer club being announced. I don't have any money. I can't be Mark Cuban. Yeah.
you can pretend.
Well, we could pretend, but I think Joe would be smart enough to know, nah, he doesn't have any money. that's fantastic. So let me ask a follow-up question. So what does 2021 look for? Anything publicly you can share for EPRI?
Actually, we've not really made any announcements yet on 2021, but we are at a few areas of interest, one being artificial intelligence. So the way that, what is the best means to an end to come up with the actionable insights we need to really drive forward towards special outcomes? And when I say that, it's really looking at decarbonization, exploring different patterns and models to understand what happens, especially now, you know, in light of COVID-19, you're looking at a lot of cities. If you look at California as an example, they're dealing with a number of different things. And those electric grid systems in those areas have to be able to deal with that. And so AI, I think, is a really powerful tool to maybe help us do some scenario planning in the industry and understand impacts and adjustments that need to be made. The other area is cybersecurity for operational technologies, meaning how do you protect all the stuff on the grid, the poles and the wires and the communication transfer among all of those things. And then we're also looking at a kind of a side challenge, looking at climate data analysis. So similar to AI, this is really more targeted on air and water impacts and things like that. And what can we do to model those? We'll be looking to make a formal announcement for our challenge areas probably toward the end of the year, but that's a little sneak peek into what might be coming down the road.
Nice. That's exciting. And especially some of those topics are front of mind for a lot of people, even people that don't drive EVs, you know, just the security of our electric grid and things like that. I'm going to move on. Hey, thank you, Annie. That was really good. I'm going to move on to Danielle here. So Danielle, why did Ameren choose EV Energy as a partner for the Accelerator program?
That's a great question, Doug. So this year in the Ameren Accelerator, it's the fourth year we've been doing it. And as I mentioned earlier, we've been doing it for 3 years before this, but it was more in a direct investment capacity. So we would invest directly into very early stage startups. And this year, we pivoted just a little bit to partner with EPRI and do a demonstration pilot program. And so we felt like we wanted to focus on things we could really develop into actionable items and real-time learnings and things that were very applicable and useful to our strategy moving forward. And so one of the key pillars that we're looking at focusing a lot on is electrification and sustainability and the intersection of the two. So we kind of look at it in two big buckets. You've got, you know, on-road and off-road. So off-road being things like lawn mowers or forklifts in warehouses. On-road, obviously EVs and potential for school buses and shuttle buses and things like that. And how in general can we move things that didn't historically utilize electricity for being run to becoming electricity dependent to make sure we're growing the load on the grid? And so we felt that this pilot, working directly with EV Energy to do managed charging and managed charging efficiently and as well as sustainably, would be a great fit for how we're looking at the future in order to create benefits both from a cost perspective and a sustainability perspective that ultimately we're excited about sort of passing on from Ameren directly to our customers.
So I have a question on follow-up on that. It isn't directly related, but it certainly has everything to do with the pilot. I was just intrigued that St. Louis is leading this pilot, and we have a Tesla owner community, certainly a strong community of not just owners, but enthusiasts as well. What led Ameren to do a pilot here as opposed to someplace in another part of your region?
Well, that's a great question. We feel like there's a lot of concentration of both EV owners and EV enthusiasts. We like to not only walk the walk, but talk the talk as well. So at our headquarter offices downtown, we've got dozens of charging stations for our coworkers, including electric vehicle incentives for purchasing them in the first place. So we've got a great concentration of folks here. Pre-COVID, we would have probably been able to populate the entire pilot with just Ameren coworkers. But since we're all working from home kind of indefinitely, there's really not as much sustainable driving practices on a daily basis. So we were able to sort of tap into you, Doug, and the rest of the St. Louis community and have been met with just really high levels of enthusiasm and engagement. So we're kind of happy that that's the case. So now we have a wider cross-section of driving patterns and commutes and charging patterns that hopefully will help equip Joe and his team with a better, you know, sort of broader set of insights.
All right. And are there plans to expand this to a larger group in St. Louis or maybe other cities in Ameren's area, like, you know, Ameren, Illinois, maybe, you know, is there going to be something going on there too?
That's a great question. That's ultimately the goal of the innovation team at Ameren is to, you know, test ideas, sort of build them up, see what the business case looks like. And if they tend to be successful and have a great return on investment from either a cost or a sustainability or efficiency standpoint, which so far this is very much looking like it falls into that category, we'd love to be able to continue working with EV Energy and EPRI and, you know, expanding this program.
Yeah, and I'll finish with this question. So why is Ameren interested in managed EV charging? You touched on it just briefly, but I'd like a little bit more color on that part of the subject.
Yeah, of course. So obviously, as EVs become more and more adopted in the near future, and perhaps will even eclipse, you know, the purchasing of gas and traditional ICE vehicles, we see a number of benefits from managing the charging of these EVs on the grid. So by optimizing the loads for EVs when, you know, our customers charge at home, we can try to match that demand with renewable generation that we're building, which includes things like our O'Fallon Solar Energy Center, and work towards delivering a zero carbon charge to our customers. And so there's also that, plus a number of benefits to the Ameren grid network that can come from balancing the loads and other demand on peak times, such as, you know, air conditioners on a hot day. And so that ultimately makes the grid more stable. It saves us money, and ultimately we can use that savings to pass directly to our customers in the form of, you know, cheaper off-peak rates and other types of rewards. So I think there's a number of different perspectives to look at benefits for this program.
All right. Hey, thank you so much for that. Joe, didn't want you to feel out of place here. We haven't even talked to you yet in like the last, I don't know, 10 minutes or so. It's time to bring you to the forefront here. Can you tell us a little bit about EV Energy and the solution you're delivering to Ameren customers through the pilot?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I said before, we're a software company that delivers managed EV charging solutions to utilities like Ameren, who are interested in managing their customers' EV charging for the reasons that Danielle mentioned. I think what makes us different from other companies is that we're hardware agnostic. So we're really interested in basically delivering this service to as much of the market as possible. And as you probably know, Doug, and I know as well as an EV owner, the kind of setups that you could have in your home for charging really vary from person to person. People have got different kinds of chargers, whether it's a charge point or a clipper creek, or they're plugging directly into the wall. People have got different kinds of vehicles. And so what we've really built is a software platform that can connect to many of those types of hardware and deliver managed charging. And so that's kind of how we work in the background, and we work with Ameren then to optimize the charging. But for what EV drivers see actually is just our app, an app that's available in the Apple and Android stores. And it's a really simple app that drivers can use to connect to their EV, set a ready by time for their vehicle, and then kind of just set it and forget it if they want to, and then just come back to a fully charged vehicle that's been charged with the cheapest, greenest energy available on the grid. For those who are maybe a bit more nerdy, they can definitely track their energy consumption, their charging rate, their costs, even the CO2 emissions associated with delivering the energy to their battery. And of course, we always give drivers the option to override managed charging at any time, because we do recognize, sometimes people just need to start charging now for whatever reason. They come home, they need to go out again in a couple of hours. And so we always want to give drivers that option. And of course, on the back end, our algorithm is taking feeds from utilities like Ameren to optimize your EV charging schedule according to a number of different variables. And in the case of what we're doing with Ameren, we're actually optimizing charging according to four different sets of variables. So we've got one group of drivers whose charging is being optimized according to the off-peak hours on Ameren's time of use rate. So we'll automatically start charging when the off-peak hours kicks in. And now what we want to avoid doing, of course, is everyone's car starts charging exactly, you know, at 10 p.m. We want to sort of spread that charging out across the night to prevent the grid from being overloaded and causing a brownouts like you would get on a hot summer's afternoon when everyone turns their air conditioner on. We're also working with Ameren's PowerSmart pricing program. So there we're using the lowest price hours, and we get sort of a forecast from Ameren, and we'll say, okay, well, you know, you plugged in your EV right now. The price of electricity is, you know, 10 cents a kilowatt hour. We actually see in a couple of hours, it's going to drop to 3 cents a kilowatt hour. So we're going to wait to deliver the charge during that time. We're also getting a grid feed from Ameren's network and actually optimizing charging for a group of EV drivers to basically try to avoid overloading like local transformers and feeder lines. Again, you know, particularly over the summer, this becomes important if you've got a neighborhood with a bunch of EVs charging and everyone's got their air conditioners on a hot summer's day. And then the last group of folks is actually having their charging optimized to CO2 emissions. So what we do is we get a carbon intensity forecast from MISO. So MISO is kind of the region in which Ameren operates. And the electricity on that grid is a combination of a bunch of different power plants, coal power plants, gas power plants. Now Ameren's starting to build some solar farms. There's a few nuclear power plants on there as well. And actually the carbon intensity of the electricity really varies according to the hour. On a summer, a sunny day, you might get a lot more green solar power on the grid, which is a great time to charge versus, let's say, a really cold winter's day. And so we're trying to deliver, as Danielle said, customers as close as possible to a zero carbon charge. And the reason why we're able to do all of this actually is because EV drivers typically plug in for 12 to 14 hours at a time on average. And if you think about sort of standard EV driver getting home in the evening around 5, 6 p.m., plugging in their vehicle and then not having to go out of the house again typically until maybe the next morning between maybe 7 or 8 a.m. But the fact of the matter is the average driver is not doing a ton of driving and only requires maybe 2 to 3 hours of charging. So that gives us a significant window for optimization that our algorithm will identify, choose the best 2 or 3 hours to deliver that charge according to price, carbon, or any other variable, and then always make sure that the EV is charged by the time the driver needs it.
That's great. When I hear all of this, and I'm thinking in the back of my mind about current situation in California, and Tesla has been sending out messages through their API to their cars to remind people to do off-peak charging and things like that. I can only imagine that EV energy would give us that great way to balance those kinds of situations as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, we're working with EV drivers in California through our partner, Silicon Valley Clean Energy, who we're working with to actually turn off charging when the grid is really overloaded. And really what we do is we make that happen automatically for EV drivers. So rather than asking a person not to charge their car at a certain time or maybe get out of bed to unplug, they just plug in and we manage that charging for them in the background. And of course, we work with PG&E and the California System Operator to make sure that we're delivering those charges only when the grid is able to handle it, which is particularly important for California right now.
That's going to be a great future when all of this is just going to work and it's going to work right. We don't have to worry about when do I plug in, when do I unplug, do I set the timer, do I do scheduled charging from my Tesla or from my Chevy Bolt or whatever car I happen to have. I want to open something up for the panel. What are you hoping to get out of your collaboration together? And anybody can kick it off, leave some room for others to talk and maybe, kind of bounce off of each other. Let's go. Come on, panel. Let's answer the question.
Sure, Doug, I can jump in. This is Danielle from Ameren. I guess in a shell, I think high level thing, we want to be able to be proactive instead of reactive with all of this coming down the pike, because we see a number of things happening. We see obviously higher levels of adoption, as demonstrated by you yourself, Doug, with your two EVs there. We see a higher demand for sustainability and sustainable practices. We also are seeing a higher demand for things like choice. Like folks want to be able to just control when and how and where they charge and do things like that. So we want to be able to be prepared to meet these trends and demands before they're actually hitting us. So we're really looking forward to all the data that EV Energy is collecting on this platform so we can be a lot more proactive in terms of preparing our offerings for our customers, down the pike when those become a lot more prominent.
Let's continue with the discussion. Who else wants to go?
Yeah, happy to jump in. I think, echoing what Danielle said, a lot of it is about learning. And I think, for us, we love working with innovative utilities like Ameren actually to understand, from their perspective, what do they need actually to be able to manage their customers' charging? What are their priorities and how can managed charging help Ameren to achieve them? So I think in Ameren's case, as Danielle said, they've got really ambitious renewable energy plans. And so, you know, what we want to learn here is how can we actually work with Ameren's renewable generation to make sure that when the sun is shining or the wind is blowing, we are able to soak up as much of that green electricity as possible and deliver it to their customers' EVs to deliver a truly zero carbon charge. So I think that's a big one. I think probably another one for us is really actually around the grid and networks. I mean, the grid is such a complicated mechanism, and I think we're seeing that in California. You know, you've got an entire sort of electricity system that spans an entire state or states in the Midwest. And then on top of that, you've even got sort of local, you know, transformers and streets that have got their own thing going on. And, you know, how do you actually balance energy demand, whether it's coming from an EV or an air conditioner or something else, you know, really down to like the neighborhood or the street level? I think one thing that we're seeing with EV adoption for sure is that there's definitely a viral factor to it. And you know, what we're seeing is one or two people on a street or in a given community will get an EV, their neighbors get curious, and then 6 to 12 months later, half the street's got an EV. And then actually, if they're all plugging in at the same time, that can make things pretty difficult for utilities like Ameren. So really learning about how we can, you know, really optimize EV charging down to like the street level and kind of just distribute those charges. So everyone is able to charge and get their vehicle charged when they need to, but we're not causing a blackout on the street.
All right, panel, any other thoughts on this? Annie, you got anything to add here?
Well, I think for us, really the outcome comes back to the kind of the mission of the Electric Power Research Institute, which is to look at the entire electric power system to ensure the safe and reliable and affordable and environmentally responsible delivery of electricity. And so, you know, I guess coming out of this, we really are aiming to get an objective understanding of the efficacy of managed charging, you know, through one example, but also looking at, is it possible to accelerate a demonstration project? All of these projects have been done on a very compressed timeline, is worth noting here. So one of the areas that we're really looking at as an institute is, you know, electrification of the end use of energy for public benefit, all the different things it can bring, you know, improved air quality, reduced emissions, things of that nature. So, you know, we're looking to get the most sort of objective view of what comes out of this project, but also really kind of give a kick to the commercialization process for these startups and make these projects very useful for the utilities that are participating.
Thank you. Hey, thank you, panel. That's great. I think all of this information is going to be very helpful to the folks that listen to Life with Mitty and that wider audience who are going to be learning about this great pilot and what you all are doing. Joe, I've just got a couple of follow-up questions for you. Can you tell us more about how this works for Tesla vehicles and the advantages for Tesla owners currently with EV energy?
Yeah, absolutely. So we connect directly to Tesla vehicles, which means that if you're a Tesla owner or driver, you don't need any kind of fancy charger. You can just use the basic cable that Tesla gave you when you purchased the car and plug right into the wall, and we're still able to manage your charging. That's because Tesla vehicles have got telematics, right? So they're internet connected. They've actually got a SIM card in them that delivers all the sort of cool stuff that you see on the center console. And the way that we actually do it is very straightforward. We connect the vehicle using something called OAuth2 process. And if you've ever signed into a website using your Gmail or your Facebook account, it's the same exact thing. So basically, the user enters in their Tesla account details. We never see that. We then get a token, essentially, from Tesla that says, okay, you know, the user has authorized EV energy to control the charging on their vehicle. And nothing else, by the way. We can't unlock doors. We can't turn the air conditioning on or anything like that. It's just around the charging. And then we essentially hold onto that token to send start charging and stop charging commands to the vehicle. And then, of course, you know, we only have that token as long as the driver allows us to. users can disconnect their vehicle at any time. But we find that, you know, most Tesla drivers really enjoy using our service, particularly when they're saving carbon and money on their energy bill, and end up keeping their vehicles connected.
Yeah, and I've been using the EV Energy app to be able to see, oh, okay, here's my trend. You know, I can see when the car is being charged. And, you know, I'm looking forward to more details on that to better understand the whys behind it. It's very simple. I have not found for myself, and I'll be giving some background on my personal experiences later in this episode. I have found this to be very easy to use. It's not putting me out of my normal patterns. I don't have to think differently. I don't have to remember it even. You just set it up and it works. Just one other thing. I know you'd mentioned this just a little bit ago. Probably were referring to the duck curve that California has, where you have during the day a lot of energy available, and that it would be great if we could have the cars when possible to be able to charge up then, as opposed to waiting to some other time. Can you give us a little more color on that and why that's an advantage?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing about renewable energy is, you know, it's coming from Mother Nature, and we're not always necessarily able to control it. So, you know, when the sun is shining during the day, but, you know, whether it's hopefully it's a sunny day or, you know, a partly cloudy day, solar energy is being generated, and we need to be able to sort of very quickly turn on charging in order to soak up that energy. And that's kind of what you described, that duck curve, right, that we see in California, but we're starting to see in a lot of states now as they ramp up solar generation. And essentially what you want to avoid is all the solar energy being generated, but nobody's around to actually consume it. Because a lot of people tend to consume more energy in their homes, you know, in the evening when they're at home, if they've come back from work. Incidentally, you know, one change that we've started seeing on our platform since shelter-in-place orders took effect a few months ago is, of course, you know, people are spending more time at home, people are working from home, and people are actually staying plugged in during the day. And this has actually opened up a whole new window of opportunity for us as a managed charging platform to actually deliver a lot of the charging sessions during the day now. When folks are plugged in, you know, maybe they need to go out and run some errands at some point, but they've set a ready by time. The sun is shining, actually, we're now able to soak up that solar energy during the day. Certainly, I think we'll see some, you know, return to normal driving patterns once the pandemic has passed. You know, certainly with more people working from home and that change potentially becoming more permanent, that actually opens up a lot of opportunities for EV drivers to play a really important role in helping to balance the grid, as well as charging their vehicles with solar generation when it's available.
We don't have to be hooked up to our system at home to participate in something like that. We can be at the local grocery store and be plugged into a J1772 somewhere there, and the car is going to initiate the charging in those situations, as opposed to, oh, I've got to be at home and I got to be in my special line and my special connector and so on and so forth. So that's very exciting. I want to finish up. Annie, can you help our listeners on how they can learn more about this pilot and hear about maybe some of the other projects, the 9 projects that are currently being conducted in the accelerator? How can they learn more?
Sure. Well, you can visit labs.incubateenergy.org. That's our challenges website. You can learn more about this cohort of the projects. When we do our demo day in October, when all of these wrap, we will be having issuing a report that can be accessible there. And then also you can learn more about our EPRI's extensive portfolio of R&D way beyond electric vehicles at www.epri.com. That's EstherPeterRI.com.
So I want to sum this up. We have a great opportunity here in the St. Louis metro area to participate in this special pilot of technology that you're going to see in the next few years. It's going to be coming to your Tesla very soon. And be watching and listening for Life with Mitty podcast, as well as us on Twitter at Life Mitty. We'll be sharing more information about this. Hopefully, we'll be able to bring you a summation of this pilot sometime in October. We're still working out the details on that. I want to thank Danielle Wilsey from Ameren, Annie Haas from EPRI, and Joseph Vallone from EV Energy for taking 35 minutes of their valuable time to get the word out about how easy it can be to save money, manage grid capacity, and take advantage of sustainable electricity all by just plugging in. For me, the experience has been very positive. I haven't had to change how I charge, when I charge, and the things I normally do with Mitty. It's been very simple. You set it up in their app, which I loaded on my Android phone, and you tell the app when you want the car ready. That's it. And yes, from time to time, if you find you need to charge now, you can command it through the app. You can say boost, and at that time, the charging begins. You got to hear in the podcast how all that gets controlled at the car level, not a special plug-in, not a special wall connector, or any special equipment. It just works. And yes, you can go to superchargers, you still can do that. Everything you've done with your car in the past, you still do. It's just now you have that great opportunity to participate in taking full advantage of a smart grid without the cost of upgrading your equipment for the smart grid. It's a win-win for everyone. I'm glad we can get the word out about technology like this, and hopefully it will spur other ideas as well. Before we finish today, I want to end with a quick commercial. If you'd like a free audiobook from any of my top 10 titles on Audible, make sure you send an email to lifewithmitty@gmail.com. Also, if you have any questions for the panelists, please send them to lifewithmitty@gmail.com. I'll make sure to get their responses and include them on a future podcast episode. So that's it. Always remember, empower others. You'll never live life on empty. I'll talk to you next time.